capitalism. This is what they're calling it, capitalism, because of all the massive increases in police budgets. I mean, the Toronto Police just got an extra $50 million, and that's just for this year.
There was a study released by a group of prostitute advocates in Vancouver. It was funded by the BC Ministry of Women's Equality, and it found that the police had been extorting sex from a minor, from sex trade workers, forcing sex without condoms, and in some instances, rape. And yet, that never gets talked about.
Police violence.
He was beat by the police severely, and he was a SAIT student just walking home and sort of walked into a hooker sting or something. But they beat him severely.
There's been an incident of two Aboriginal women who died due to police negligence in that case, not responding to repeated calls for to 911.
Three youth hitting the ground and three policemen on them over a marijuana cigarette.
The various police forces are increasingly less able to hide behind, oh, this is just a isolated incident. You know, the patterns are becoming aware to a large number of people. There's nothing the police like more than to see a bunch of anarchist or native youth on the streets so they can go out and club them. There's a stroller sitting here that says, support the cops, beat yourself up.
And it basically turned into a police initiated riot where the police attacked the demonstrators.
We have between 50 and 90 women, sex trade workers, who are missing, all presumed murdered. And what we have, a lot of these people work in our community in the lower part of Grandview Woodland, which is in East Vancouver. And yet we have a community policing office that is solely focused on anti-panhandling. They're worried about garbage in the park and graffiti. So, and they say that these are safety issues.
You can't speak badly about police officers because, you know, they're out there and they're protecting us.
The police have a role in contributing to the deaths of drug users.
We actually started hearing about police who are harassing people on the street as well.
Protesters were viciously attacked by an increasingly militarized police.
I think what we need to do is stop being afraid of the police and start standing up for ourselves as a group.
Maybe we need to referee the police.
That's what the police are doing.
Brutality. October 14, 2004. A former Cambridge, New York police chief who was charged with raping a 9-year-old girl has been sentenced to time served after he pleaded guilty to lesser charges. Thomas Lewandowski pleaded guilty to 5 misdemeanor charges relating to the incident, including grabbing the girl by the arm and violating a court order to stay away from the girl. Lewandowski will be incarcerated for the next 4 years on unrelated felony child pornography charges. He was originally sentenced to 50 years for the rape of the 9-year-old girl, but was able to have that conviction thrown out on appeal. A former Wheaton, Illinois police officer has pleaded guilty to driving while impaired after an off-duty incident where he drove his car off the road and into a townhouse. Paul Chavez was fined $500, ordered to perform 50 hours of community service, and placed under court supervision for 1 year. Chavez was placed on paid leave after the incident, but he was fired in April because of the drunk driving incident and 4 other misconduct violations. 2 New York City transit cops have been charged with beating a homeless man they threw out of Penn Station. Prosecutors say they have a videotape of the January 18 incident. Joseph Kamian and Michael Koenig pleaded not guilty on Tuesday and were released without bail until their next court appearance in November. Koenig, who committed the unprovoked assault for which the victim required medical attention, is charged with second-degree assault, falsifying business records, and official misconduct. He faces up to 7 years in prison. Kamian, who is alleged to have covered up the assault, is charged with falsifying business records and official misconduct. He is facing a possible 4 years in prison. Both officers were suspended without pay after the incident. The entire police force of Maysville, North Carolina, was suspended this week after angry complaints from citizens who accuse the police of inappropriate behavior. After a meeting where 75 residents expressed their concern about their local police, the town council voted to suspend all 4 of the force's officers without pay. Disciplinary action against 4 San Francisco police officers was put on hold by the police commission there this week. The separate charges against the officers include sexual harassment, drunk driving, and using excessive force against an anti-war protester. Officer Anthony Nelson broke the arm of a protester in March 2003. The victim has filed a federal lawsuit in that case. In another case, Officer Michael Sellis used his badge to try to gain access to a hotel room where he thought his estranged wife was meeting with another man. Sergeant Jeff Berry is accused of driving 85 miles per hour in a 45 mile per hour zone. Sergeant Eugene Yashi is charged with sexually harassing a female officer under his supervision. No reason was given for the delay in disciplinary action. The mayor of Springdale, Pennsylvania, is investigating an incident which occurred last Friday after a complaint was made about underage smoking. Police arrested 4 teenagers and 1 of their parents after the incident. Officer Mike Naviglia, who is the brother of the local police chief, is accused of uttering a racial slur and pulling his gun on a crowd of people who gathered to protest the unfairness of the arrests. The arrested face charges ranging from assaulting a police officer to attempted escape. Parents of all of the arrested boys accuse the police of using excessive force in the arrests. Pekin, Illinois police officer Reno Bigliazzi was charged this week with slashing the tires of his ex-wife's truck while he was on duty. Neighbors who witnessed the incident have cooperated with investigators. The officer's wife also accused him of throwing eggs at her truck and puncturing her tires in prior incidents over the past few months. The officer has been charged with felony official misconduct. Last year, one of his fellow officers faced the same charge for stealing money from a trust fund which the officer administered. The police chief in Carlton, Oregon, is expected to resign and plead guilty after being charged with federal weapons offenses. Lee Whalen and another officer, Richard Noble, are charged with possession of an unregistered silencer, an unregistered sawed-off shotgun, and unregistered semi-automatic rifles. Merrill, Oregon Police Chief David Rott was charged with official misconduct and sentenced to 20 days in jail for his part in the same weapons offenses. Neither of the former chiefs will be able to work in law enforcement ever again. Noble remains employed as a police sergeant. The city council in Oakland, California, has agreed to pay a $15,000 settlement to a jailed bank robber who was shot and kicked in the groin by police after he led them on a high-speed chase. The police fired a total of 51 shots at the man as he attempted to surrender his weapon to them. One officer, Edwin Somariba, was suspended for 5 days for kicking the man in the groin. An investigation revealed that police shouted conflicting orders at the man, who has still not recovered from the 1998 incident, and used unnecessary force in his apprehension. A grand jury has been convened to investigate misconduct by a number of officers in the Stoughton, Massachusetts Police Department. Two people testified last week about incidents including wrongful arrest and harassment. The only officer named so far is Sergeant David Cohen, who was the subject of an early complaint. Cohen is alleged to have handcuffed a man until he agreed to pay a debt to a third party. Prosecutors have indicated that they are investigating wrongdoings by numerous officers. A 61-year-old man is expected to testify this week about a recent incident where police dragged him from his home because of an alleged bomb threat in the neighborhood. A local car dealer has already testified about an incident where he was arrested falsely based on a complaint by one of his customers. A Louisville, Kentucky police officer has been fired after he helped a fellow officer charged with rape. The chief of the Louisville police says that Officer Tony Crush violated department policies by lying, disobeying rules, and interfering in job performance. The accusations are connected to the rape trial of Officer Billy Ray White. Crush is alleged to have provided White with confidential information about the woman. McNary County, Tennessee Sheriff Tommy Riley and two corrections workers have been indicted by a grand jury on charges which stem from an investigation into alleged sexual relations between a jailer and an inmate. Riley is charged with felicitation of escape, official misconduct, filing a false police report, and tampering or changing an official record. Riley remains on the job at the present time. A 16-year-old Hoboken, New Jersey high school student fell into a river and drowned on Tuesday after escaping police custody. The boy had been arrested for a violation of his probation. After escaping police custody through a bathroom window, the boy ran through the Hoboken train terminal, pursued by officers on foot, in cars, and on motorcycles. The boy jumped into the Hudson River as a police helicopter circled overhead. A coroner has ruled the cause of death as drowning. So far, the boy's family has not taken any legal action against the city. The family of a 75-year-old Blue Island, Illinois man say that he was attacked without provocation by police officers. The man is in fair condition in hospital with bruises on his hands and face and 3 broken ribs. The chief of the Blue Island police, who is standing behind his officers' actions, says his plainclothes officers were investigating a complaint about graffiti when they attacked the man, who spoke only Spanish. The family is considering legal action. A Minneapolis police officer is being investigated for pushing a man, causing him to be seriously injured, and then not calling an ambulance for the man. Officer Alan Williams is currently the subject of an internal affairs investigation of the incident, which occurred this past weekend. The man attacked by the officer was drinking in an SUV with some friends when he was confronted, and he's still in the hospital, recovering from a skull fracture. The man was initially charged with being drunk in public, but the charge was later dropped. A neighbor who tried to call an ambulance instead had her call directed to her local police precinct. Officer Williams has had 4 internal affairs complaints made against him since 1997.
The confrontation was not created by the police. The confrontation was created by the people who charged the police. The confrontation was not created by the police. The confrontation was created by the people who charged the police. The confrontation was not created by the police. The confrontation was created by the people who charged the police.
Let's go.
straight once and for all. The policeman isn't there to create disorder. The policeman is there to preserve disorder.
You know, a lot of people, I hear these people talking about, yeah, you know, cops do this, they have their job, yeah, but what they don't realize is, you know, what about us? One of my friends got rolled on by a cop, got away with it. You know, they just dumped him right there in the alley. He was beat up. They did the same thing to me, you know. We were drunk one night hanging around in the park with my friends. They pulled out the guns. You know, we're not even armed. They pulled out guns talking about getting the, you know, get on the car, get on the car. And they put one of my friends on the top of the hood. And what do they say? They turn on the engine, making them burn, making the hood burn his face. Like you said, if they kill a cop, I wouldn't give a shit. I had a rib broken because of them. And they let me go like that. You know, what's the justice in that?
We cannot have a civil society, a civilized society, if we allow a bunch of people to go around like a bunch of cowboys beating up people. People can start being aware that they don't have to submit to search and seizures. They don't have to have their photographs taken over. They don't have to be pulled over and just harassed for no reason whatsoever. Well, this guy got clubbed 27 times. They said he was lying on the ground, and they said, well, he was resisting arrest. How are you going to resist arrest lying on the ground? But then they kept clubbing him. 27 times they busted him in the head and over his ribs and everything else.
When I moved to Houston in 1968, the police had just stomped Bobby Joe Connor to death. A few years later, they shot down Carl Hampton on Dowling Street, July 26, 1970, and it has gone on and on and on with illegal activities by the police. We saw the police harass, this was like 11:30 at night, harassing a young man who was going down the street in a wheelchair, and he was yelling at them, and they were yelling at him.
Oh, we've been watching the cops a long time. We've been watching them harass, harangue, arrest, and abuse our young people, and they could point to where the hanging tree was in Founders Park on West Dallas Street. Some of the old ones even contend that the officers wore blue during the day and white at night, and we've been watching a long time. I see very young people, particularly young men, black and brown men, being targeted, harassed, and what the old folks call writing a name down, which is the beginning of getting these kids arrested and taking their futures and robbing us of our children. The police in Houston and throughout the country are attacking communities as if it didn't matter, and if they could do it and just get away with it.
We have a right to watch the police. Mm-hmm. We as citizens, we as taxpayers,
and
Have a responsibility, absolutely, to observe what's going on with police. Police depend on their anonymity, and they depend on people assuming that whatever they're doing is right. The police aren't always right, and there are a lot of police who are being very abusive of their power, and we need to be addressing that in a very open manner.
Because in many communities, the police are nothing but occupying forces.
Exactly.
We have a whole new segment of our society that's been targeted by police, namely the Arab communities, the South Asian communities, the Muslim communities.
And or people who look like they may be.
And we can either sit in our homes and hope that this thing changes, or we can start reaching out to others and start organizing.
We want an immediate end to this police brutality that our people are confronted by every single day, every single week, every single month, every single year across the land.
The police were told that I had nothing in my hands. It's in the 911 transcript. So why did they think that they needed to come at me with loaded handguns?
But we don't want to walk around here in a police state giving people the right to think that they can take our life or break our limb or bust our head.
This song, self-explanatory, it's called Police, Police.
the cops were really being aggressive with in totally unnecessary ways. The vast majority of the cops were really pumped up.
Even if they have their papers and everything is in order, that the police are often asking them to ID themselves, and they say that they have the right not to ID themselves. They know that, but if they don't, the police usually will say, well, if you don't, we'll take you in, or if you don't, we'll give you a ticket for loitering.
The more immigrant that came, the more police oppression there is. They can always do what they want, even though they know it's illegal, even though that we have, you know, a right as a human being, they would.
And if you know your right and you assert your rights?
They're more aggressive when you assert their rights, because it happened to me a lot of times. And what we learned is that if you're alone and they stop you, it's better for you to cooperate, because in the end you're going to get victimized and nobody's there to see it.
We're now going to have to focus on the militarized police state that exists so that we can disarm our militarized police. A police state, overt and obvious, where armed thug-like paramilitary squads of police were conspiring with ATF and FBI to preemptively round up and arrest and trump up charges against anyone who looked like a demonstrator. You can see from footage that people were, you know, shot with rubber bullets, with wood bullets, plastic bullets, from shotguns, tear gas, concussion grenades, pepper spray, electrocution devices that they call tasers, which shoot wires 20 feet through the air, with barbs, razor sharp, that pierce and puncture skin and send some 6,000 volt electric shock through your body, immobilizing you and making your every inch of your nervous system writhe in pain. This is just a little bit of what their arsenal was, you know, billy clubs, electric shields. So this is what is in the militarized police forces artillery to use against civil population, and you know what we need to do is organize against that and try to disarm them so that we can have more space for, you know, for legal protest.
So the cops were like facing off with the protesters and started reaching into the crowd of protesters to grab at things, and he thought they were grabbing at people and they were going to start arresting people. What they were really doing, they were grabbing the puppets, pulling down the puppets and smashing them, literally like cops were stomping, like step, you know, like jumping up and down on the puppets and smashing the puppets. Firemen were setting up fire hoses and they were using them on the protesters. The whole way was lined with a solid wall of police with their shields up. Solid wall, you couldn't get through either way. They were really corralling people into this one area, and in the rally site it was completely ringed with armored police. They had their little armored tanks, their little urban assault vehicles strategically placed on higher points overlooking the rally site.
They'd rather profile people and protect empty buildings than protect people in the city. Shame on you.
Just right down to the light, please.
Bleeding your tear gas and your rubber bullets.
We appreciate your assistance,
nothing
sir.
Nothing but a bunch of legalized gangsters. That's all you
Thank
are.
You for moving down.
You're
on the block. Police, police, police oppression. Police, police, police oppression. Much more than suppression. I'm going up my head and it's just not a pressure. Why can't I go out for a walk? Why can't I sit down and have a talk? They're asking me how and they're asking me why. Have you ever seen grown men cry? Police, police, police oppression. Police, police, police oppression. Cells is really no fun. Count the bricks, learn some tricks. Ask me no questions and I'll tell you no lies. It's been different, really fine. Police, police, police oppression. Police, police, police oppression. Police, 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 police,
October 21st, 2004. A former Los Angeles police officer already in prison on drug trafficking and weapons charges has admitted that he and other officers were behind a robbery spree from 1998 to 2001. Ruben Palomares and his colleagues collected guns, drugs, cash, and other items in robberies that would sometimes turn brutally violent. The officers frequently identified themselves as cops when they were committing their crimes, which were often staged to appear like police raids. During the spree, two men were shot with stun guns, one was beaten with a club, and one had a gun placed in his mouth while he was burned with a lighter. The group sold more than 700 pounds of marijuana, 50 kilos of cocaine, and an assortment of firearms and jewelry for hundreds of thousands of dollars. Five of the officers were on active duty at the time of the robberies. Two were from the LAPD, two were from the Long Beach Police, and the other is a former LA County Sheriff's deputy who is working as a prison guard currently. An investigation into the robberies is ongoing. A Galveston, Texas man is suing police for arresting him and forcing him to have his stomach pumped without his consent or a warrant. Robert Stokes was arrested for outstanding misdemeanor warrants after a traffic stop on October 14, 2002. Police say that when he was taken to jail, Stokes put some crack cocaine in his mouth to try to hide it from the officers. Stokes' lawsuit says that he put nothing in his mouth but was attacked by officers who beat and hurled racial epithets at him. He was taken to hospital where he was beaten further to force him to submit to the stomach pumping. When that tactic failed, Stokes was bound and drugged. After his stomach was pumped and nothing was found, officers were forced to withdraw the drug charges. He still faces charges of resisting arrest. The defendants in the lawsuit are officers Clayton Pope and Michael Gray, Sergeant Pedro Alocer, Lieutenant Henry Pareto, and the emergency room doctor who performed the illegal procedure. Lieutenant Pareto has already been suspended for an unrelated incident where he unjustifiably used deadly force during an arrest. Kenneth Henderson, chief of the Bound Brook, New Jersey Police Department, was fired Tuesday for alerting a local restaurant to an impending liquor license investigation. Henderson was eating in the restaurant when he was informed of the inspection by cell phone. The chief then told the owner and several employees that they had to leave, and then donned a traffic control vest to make it appear to the investigators as though he had been directing traffic in anticipation of their arrival. Unfortunately, he committed these actions in full view of undercover investigators who had been placed inside the restaurant. Henderson is being held in jail on a $50,000 bail. The McNary County, Tennessee sheriff we told you about last week, who is facing charges of official misconduct, has had his trial date set for March 9th. In addition to his official misconduct charge, Sheriff Tommy Riley and a corrections official are also charged with facilitation of escape, filing a false police report, and tampering with an official record. Another former corrections officer is accused of bringing contraband into a jail and having sexual contact with one of his inmates in the same case. The police chief in Milwaukee has fired three officers over an incident in which six officers went sledding while on duty this past January. Officers Kevin Clark, Andrew Gebhardt, and George Valovic have all been fired. Officer Sean Racklaw received a 20-day suspension. During the sledding incident, Officer Clark was seriously injured. His fellow officers moved Clark to a nearby middle school and called in an officer down. Sergeant Brian Hinkle admitted to making up the story and resigned from the force before pleading guilty to official misconduct. He'll be sentenced next month. The town of Union, Oregon is now aware of why their police chief was fired last year. Chief Dean Muchow was fired after being charged with official misconduct and theft. Macho's personnel file, recently released to a local newspaper, says that there were inappropriate actions taken during the course of several investigations involving children. One case involved a child who had told a teacher that his stepfather was abusing his mother. The chief interviewed the stepfather in front of the boy and revealed the identity of the teacher who reported the alleged abuse to the police. In another case, complaints were made that Muchow improperly obtained evidence from an alleged female juvenile sex abuse victim. Muchow said that the victim's mother actually obtained the evidence. In another case, an incident where an unattended child fell from the stands at a local fair was not investigated. A police officer from Lowell, Massachusetts, is urging his local city council to hire an independent investigator to look into corruption in the local police department. In his petition to city council this week, former officer Edward McMahon insists he will speak about and expose police corruption, police misconduct, police cover-ups, failure to investigate complaints, tainted internal investigations, and tampering with official police documents. The former officer is not offering further details at this time. The police in Norwalk, New York, are fuming over the unknown identity of the individual that provided a local newspaper with details of an investigation into an alleged sexual assault by one of its officers. The attorney for the victim of the assault has filed a lawsuit against the city. So far, the officer, James Saraceni, has not been charged with a crime, despite the fact that the assault took place at a police station where he was also drinking vodka with his victim. His rank was reduced from sergeant to patrolman after a police investigation of the incident. An unidentified source recently mailed a copy of the woman's statement to police and other documents to the Stamford Advocate newspaper that ran with the story, citing the public's right to know. 60 curious residents in Mount Morris, New York, turned out to their town hall meeting this week to hear the council accept the resignation of the local police chief. The resignation comes 9 days after he was suspended for an unknown reason. For 2 days last week, the local police station was jammed with cars from the county sheriff's department, leading many residents to speculate about possible misconduct on the chief's part. This week, Toronto Police Chief Julian Fantino announced that three officers are facing 13 new charges under the Police Services Act. The charges are connected to an investigation of the now disbanded plainclothes unit at a downtown police division. Officers Jody Watson and George Carudis, along with Bill McCormick Jr., son of the former Toronto police chief, are facing the new charges. McCormick is also facing 8 new criminal charges, including breach of trust, fraud on the government, and obstruction of justice. The new charges are the result of an investigation into a shakedown of bars in the entertainment district. McCormick and three other officers are also facing charges after an investigation into illegal gambling. An RCMP task force has been probing the allegations of corruption on the Toronto Police Force for 2 years. This week, two Toronto officers were acquitted by a judge for their 2002 beating of a deaf black man. A recent LA Times study has revealed that less than 1% of LA police officers have fired their weapons at suspects 3 or more times, but that those officers were involved in 20% of all police shootings since 1985. The study revealed that although some of the frequent shooters had been awarded by their department, others had committed numerous acts of misconduct. One officer framed a man on a gun charge. One had even robbed a bank. Several were implicated in beating suspects, planting evidence, and covering up shootings. The LA department has no policy on monitoring officers who are frequent shooters. The police chief in Hartford, Connecticut, has acknowledged that an investigation is underway into allegations of misconduct against members of his department. Police sources say that the investigation is based on a complaint made by a woman and that raises concerns about a number of cases that were handled by two detectives. No other details are presently available, but when they are, we'll be sure to tell you about it. A police brutality lawsuit brought by a man in Martinsburg against a West Virginia state trooper has been settled. Police have issued a written apology to the man, and trooper R.A. Spearman has been relocated to another part of the state. The man also received $115,000 as part of the settlement, but he had refused to endorse the check until the apology had been received. In his lawsuit, the man said that Officer Spearman stormed into his home and beat him, breaking his glasses and causing his nose to bleed. The officer also punched the man's wife when she attempted to intervene. The man was found not guilty by a jury on the sole charge of obstructing police that the officer filed against him. As the Saskatchewan government prepares to release a report about police brutality in the Saskatoon police, a new allegation of excessive force has been reported. On a local television newscast on Saturday night, witnesses described how they saw police slam the head of a handcuffed man into a police cruiser, covering the vehicle with blood. The force made an announcement that they will investigate the incident shortly afterwards. An investigation into alleged brutality on the part of police in Maysville, North Carolina, is continuing. The investigation is focused on an incident earlier this month where police officers were involved in a fight after they asked a man why his jacket was hanging on a stop sign. The officers say they were beaten and sprayed with mace. Witnesses accused the police of using excessive force before they got their asses kicked. As we reported last week, town council subsequently suspended the entire police force in Maysville after a meeting where many concerned citizens expressed their concern about the local police. One Hendry County, Florida sheriff's deputy has resigned, and a sergeant was suspended after an incident where a drunk driving suspect was clubbed, punched, kicked in the head, walked on, and thrown to the ground. The incident was captured by a video camera in the cruiser of one of the officers who inflicted the beating, John Childers. Sergeant Bobby Shaw was suspended for 5 days for not reporting the incident. In a separate investigation, four Hendry County officers are being investigated in connection to the police shooting death of a woman who fled the scene of an accident. Another Hendry County officer was caught on tape last year beating a man in a rage after finding his sister in the man's car. The officer in that incident was never disciplined. In another unrelated incident, a man has filed a complaint against the same department after officers choked him to the point of passing out after he was arrested for marijuana possession and complained to an officer that his handcuffs were too tight. The man was also tasered and beaten in the August incident. Currently in Canada, coroner's inquests are being held into the deaths of 6 people that may be connected to the police use of tasers. So far, all 6 of the police taser victims have been determined to have died because of their cocaine use. Arizona-based Taser International claim they have data that shows that tasers have been used to save lives or prevent injury in North America over 5,000 times. However, cases of abuse are multiplying as stun gun use proliferates. Currently in Canada, 51 police forces and 4 corrections services use around 2,500 tasers. In the U.S., over 5,500 police forces use tasers. This week in Lafayette, California, officers had tasers returned to them after their use was discontinued following the in-custody death of a man and repeated allegations of police misconduct involving stun guns.
Have your pains, tell us how you get that fight. For the cops to pick you up, get you away. But I hear cop cars.
hate cop cars. Mima, mima. I hate cop cars. Down, push on the shade, get me around my own little toes. They don't care when they run or run, but they're kind of a shot of cunts. I got those. I got those. Mima, mima. I got those. I got those. I got those. I got those. I got the bomb, have your face. Now it's time to get a fight. For the coach and the fuck you up. Step your way, for the night. Oh, here come girls. Oh, here come girls. Mima, mima. Oh, here come girls.
I'm currently with a group of about 150 protesters who've made their way very slowly down the Charing Cross Road, being hemmed in by police who are using very heavy-handed tactics to keep them in an extremely small space. They've now been completely corralled at the bottom of Charing Cross Road just before we get into Trafalgar Square. The mood here is one of frustration.
It has to be another police force who would investigate. So all the other incidents that I was referring to were investigated by the provincial police. But even though that was the case in these other incidents, from my perspective, there was a lack of transparency in the investigations, mainly given the fact that there is a solidarity amongst police officers, solidarity that sometimes put the actual good of the police force before the actual research for the truth in investigation. I'm saying that sometimes that could taint an investigation.
Mothers of from visible minority communities whose kids have been harassed or even beaten by either police officers or metro security officers. So, I mean, as far as the community concerns, yes, not every police officer is a bad, evil person, but there is among many this systemic problem.
I've just left Piccadilly, and the police have just unlawfully arrested Jim Matthews. They've grabbed him, basically, and they swore at him. And then when we said, hey, what are you doing? They shoved my camera into my face and my face is injured. The police have arrested Jim Matthews unlawfully.
5 minutes to seven, the police have just made a big offensive. They appear to be giving a bit of room for people to get out of where they've been corralled and then chased after these people, smashing with truncheons. One young man's head was broken open. It's now settled at a standoff with the police again having hemmed in the sound system, marchers and drummers on the other side of the cordons and a fair group forming on this side of the cordons. There's 20 police horses waiting behind Admiralty Arch and it looks like neither the police nor us are willing to go anywhere right now.
We are at the U.S.-Mexico border. And what's going on over there?
They're trying to knock down the fence.
The black bloc is trying to knock down the fence. That could be very bad news for us. Okay, well, the black bloc's going for the fence. That was a paddy wagon. Now we've got mounted police behind us. We've got a lot of police around us. It's getting hectic already. It's getting hectic. The black bloc's trying to take the fence about 30 yards from us. And we could have problems on our hands. We are pretty cordoned in by police at this point, I would think. And now our numbers don't look as numerous as they did on the way here. And we seem to have stalled out here at the border. I don't know if they don't seem to know what to do with us. They're probably going to try and disperse us. My guess is that they will probably try to disperse us. Get back that way.
There's cops everywhere.
I don't know if there's a way out of here. Well, we'll see.
Good evening. We want to just quickly send a nice friendly message to the Fraternal Order of Police in Philadelphia.
Documented wrongful deaths brought to us in the last 4 or 5 days in reference to to police involvement here?
Police are the people who are mandated in our society to enforce the laws, and at the same time, they need to be accountable to the citizenship, to the people that they police. And it seems that they're not only not accountable to the people right now, but in fact, some of the politicians who sit on the police services board are unhappy with the police procedures and their accountability to even city council.
One of the comments that we have heard more than once is people saying that they have never seen that level of police brutality before in the city.
The police just tear gas the whole neighborhood, plus two other working class neighborhood. They just like totally fill the air thick with tear gas, and they attack like peaceful and less peaceful demonstrators, and they attack local residents, and everyone was affected by that. People downtown are angry at the police.
The police came to the city council,
yeah,
and asked them to pass,
yeah,
special laws directed against repressing the demonstrators.
The police get 20% of the money raised from property taxes. So 20% of our municipal taxes go to policing. We cannot get a line item budget out of the police for security issues, for whatever issues, even with access to information requests. There was recently a piece that came out by Greg LaBelle, who'd witnessed an incident of police brutality that really highlighted the problem with the police complaints procedure, that it's highly intimidating, and that unless you're directly the victim of violence at the hands of the police, you can't say anything about it. And that's really problematic. Another area where police brutality has been escalating, I would say, is in the policing of demonstrations. There have been an increasing number of arrests as demonstrations unfold in the city of Toronto. It seems that every single time that people go to the streets to demand to be heard, which is in many ways the only way that we can exercise our democratic rights now, the police are here to crack down on us, and quite violently and in ridiculous proportions. People were getting beat up. People were getting picked up at the beginning of the demo for not having done anything. And it seems to be a routine police procedure now to just pick people up at demos, charge them with these ludicrous things, hold them for 24 hours, and then let them go. And this is entirely undemocratic. It's completely unconstitutional. It's a violation of people's human rights. And it's brutality. And it's targeted brutality. And it's being used as a strategy against people who just want to exercise their freedom of speech and their freedom of assembly. And that's completely unacceptable. Right now, the police don't seem to have any kind of procedure or policy that they need to follow when they're policing demos.
According to eyewitness accounts, Mario Babatunde Mallet was pepper sprayed, handcuffed, thrown in the back of a police van, and left alone during the 20-minute ride to an emergency room. He was face down and without a pulse when the van arrived at Frodert Memorial Lutheran Hospital. Police department rules state that an officer should accompany a restrained prisoner. Neither his name nor the details of his death were made public for 6 days, despite repeated requests by the press for the police to release his name. His identity was first announced by the medical examiner on January 2nd. The Milwaukee County Medical Examiner released their final autopsy report yesterday, stating that Mallet died from acute exhaustive mania, a diagnosis never before made by the examiner's office.
On the 27th of December, Mr. Mallet, to the best of our knowledge, ran out of his house in pursuit of his dog, which was in traffic, in an attempt to keep the dog from getting hit. Okay, we've got three eyewitnesses who have given statements, and two of them are young Asian American women who stated that he was beat profusely and that he was pepper sprayed, and that he was forced into the van face down with his hands handcuffed behind his back. There is an unnamed police official who has stated that there was no police official nor no qualified physician or attendant in the back of that van when he appeared there, and when he appeared there, he was face down, hands behind the back. Now, this was part of the Sentinel Journal reporting. The police are saying that he was positioned properly in the van, seat belted, and transported. this is in complete contradiction to what the eyewitnesses are saying. They're saying that he was handcuffed behind his back and forced into the van face down twice after he fought his way back out of the van.